Thank you, operator, and thank you everyone for joining us this afternoon. Our objective today is to provide you with an update on, one, the continuing impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on NorthStar Healthcare's business and the senior care industry, and two, NorthStar Healthcare's operations and financial performance. Speaking today on today's call will be Ron Tano, our Chief Executive Officer, and Frank Saracino, Chief Financial Officer. After we conclude management's prepared remarks, we will respond to pre-selected questions that we have received in advance. We have endeavored to select the most relevant questions to this audience. Please note, though, while there is no supplemental presentation for today, we do encourage you to review our publicly filed reports and statements. Before we begin, I want to remind you that we will be making forward-looking statements in our comments and in response to your questions concerning our expectations regarding our acquisitions, dispositions, financing, and investment plans, our expectations regarding the continuing impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on our business, and our expectations regarding our future financial position, results of operations, and distribution and share repurchase policies. These forward-looking statements are based on NorthStar Healthcare's current expectations and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially, including the risks identified in our Form 10-K for the year ended December 31, 2020. We undertake no obligation to update our forward-looking statements to reflect subsequent events or circumstances, and you should not assume that the comments we make today are valid in the future. Currently, one of the most significant factors that may cause actual results to differ materially from our forward-looking statements is the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic and its effect on the financial condition, results of operations, cash flow, and performance of NorthStar Healthcare, its operators and tenants, and how it impacts the senior care industry and the global economy. We expect that the effects of the pandemic will continue to materially impact revenues, expenses, and cash flow generated by both our operating and net lease direct investments, as well as our unconsolidated investments. At this time, as the extent and duration of the increasingly broad effects of the COVID-19 pandemic on the global economy remain unclear, it is difficult to assess and estimate the impact on our results of operations with any meaningful precision. In addition, references may be made during this call to non-GAAP financial results. Investors are encouraged to review these non-GAAP financial measures, as well as the explanation and reconciliation of these measures to the comparable GAAP results included in our SEC filings. Our SEC filings can be accessed on the investor relations section of our website at www.northstarhealthcarereit.com. With that, let me turn the call over to Ron Tano, CEO of NorthStar Healthcare.
Thanks, Anne, and good afternoon, everyone. Before we begin, we hope that you, your families, friends, and colleagues remain safe and healthy. I want to express our sincere gratitude to the healthcare community, including all managers, operators, and their staff for continuing to navigate and persevere through this unprecedented situation. Our first priority for NorthStar Healthcare has and continues to be the health and safety of the residents and staff at our communities. We remain focused on supporting our managers and operators as they continue to face challenges with staffing, vaccine implementation, PPE, acquisition, testing, and managing day-to-day operations. We continue to adjust asset and portfolio-level initiatives and business practices to address ever-changing market and operating conditions in an attempt to manage risk and maximize value, including continuing to invest capital into our assets to ensure they are best positioned in the relative markets. Our business is critically dependent on new residents moving in and fewer residents moving out. As a result of the pandemic and since March 2020, our directly owned investments have only had 1 month, June 2020, in which more residents have moved in than have moved out. This is a direct result of an increase in infection rates causing a halt to accepting new move-ins at numerous communities and at varying times, whereby a community cannot move in any new residents while they have any active COVID-19 cases. Further, other factors that have negatively impacted moving in potential new residents include general health and safety concerns, restrictive access to community dining, amenities, and other lifestyle benefits, inability to tour the communities in person, quarantine requirements upon initial move-in to a community, and a family's inability or even limited ability to visit their loved ones. As a result, our average quarterly occupancy across our direct investments declined from approximately 81% in Q1 2020 to 74% as of Q4 2020. This theme has continued into Q1 2021 as the occupancy of our direct investments was 71.8% as of March 18, 2021, a 2% decline from Q4 2020 and a 9.4% decline since Q1 2020. The decline in our direct investments occupancy is consistent with what the senior housing industry has experienced. As reported by the National Investment Center for Seniors Housing and Care, or NIC, N-I-C, from Q1 to Q4 2020, senior housing occupancy declined a total of 6.8%. And by comparison, along the same time frame, Northstar Healthcare's direct investments average occupancy declined by 7%. The widespread distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine continues to be one of the most critical components for our communities. The COVID-19 vaccine rollout began in early January 2021, and our managers and operators have continued to coordinate with the respective states and administering agents to set up on-site clinics at our communities to provide the vaccine to both residents and staff on an elective basis. To date, approximately 85% of the communities in our direct investments have hosted vaccine clinics, the majority of which have now been completed or scheduled multiple clinic days. Resident acceptance rate at our communities has been high, over 90% within our direct investments, and staff acceptance has been lower than many of our managers and operators would have liked as they've implemented programs to support improving those efforts. Our managers and operators continue to educate and incentivize both residents and staff to maximize participation given how important this initiative is. Operating costs continued to rise throughout 2020 as our managers and operators undertook actions to protect residents and staff. COVID-19 related costs total approximately $9.9 million for our direct operating investments for the year ended December 31, 2020. One of our key initiatives in 2021 is continuing to improve our assets to better prepare for the future when healthcare markets finds its new level of normalcy. We believe targeted improvements to our facilities will be essential to converting our lead base into move-ins at our communities while meeting the expectations of our existing residents, both of which will drive occupancy and performance. Further, as reported by NIC, senior housing inventory growth slowed to 2.6% in Q4 2020, and construction as a percentage of inventory declined to 5.5% across seniors housing sectors. Declining construction starts and less new supply coming online, coupled with investment in our communities and an increase in consumer demand, bodes well for improving occupancy in the future. In summary, while the duration and extent to which COVID-19 continues to impact the healthcare real estate sector and our specific communities remains uncertain, we look towards the post-pandemic operating and investment environment, and we believe in the long-term strength of the seniors housing and skilled nursing business. We are encouraged by the progress being made on vaccinations, which will ultimately allow for our business to trend back to operating without restrictions, including allowing normal visitation and touring of the communities, and for conditions critical for a national seniors housing recovery. I'd like to now hand the presentation over to Frank to provide an overview of Northstar Healthcare's financial performance. Frank?
Thanks, Ron. Before we discuss the operating performance of Northstar Healthcare, I would like to highlight some recent transactions and events that have improved our liquidity position and will impact our financial performance. On past calls, we have discussed actions taken by management to enhance Northstar Healthcare's liquidity and preserve flexibility in response to the financial impact that the COVID-19 pandemic has had on our business. These actions include drawing on our revolving line of credit, executing forbearance agreements with lenders to defer debt service, and suspending share repurchases under the share repurchase program. We also recently announced an amendment to our mezzanine loan debt investment. As a reminder, the mezzanine loan is secured by a portfolio of net lease skilled nursing facilities owned by a joint venture in which we also have a minority ownership interest. The amendment addressed the upcoming maturity of the loan, which was extended 1 year to January 2022, required a $5 million paydown upon execution, and increased the overall interest rate. As an update, the borrower has continued to make principal payments in 2021, further reducing the outstanding balance of the loan. Principal repayments in 2021 have totaled $24.9 million, and the loan currently has an outstanding balance of $49.3 million. The prepayments of principal have further enhanced North Shore Healthcare's liquidity position, which enables the company to pursue other financial and operation initiatives. Further in 2021, we have refinanced an existing $18.7 million note payable collateralized by a property within our Aqua portfolio with a $26 million mortgage note payable. The transaction generated approximately $6 million in net proceeds to the company. The new mortgage note carries a lower fixed interest rate of 3% and has initial maturity of February 2026. We are pleased with the execution of this refinance. Lastly, in January 2021, we received approximately $6.8 million in preferred relief funds under the CARES Act for facilities in our direct operating portfolio that provide assisting living services. The receipt of this funding will help to offset the costs that continue to be incurred as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, such as personal protective equipment and additional staffing. As a result of these actions and events, as of March 18, 2021, North Shore Healthcare has approximately $95.7 million of unrestricted cash. We currently believe that our capital resources are sufficient to meet our capital needs for the next 12 months. However, it is important to recognize that the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic may continue to have a prolonged negative impact on our financial condition and results of operations. Next, I would like to present the company's financial results for the year ended December 31, 2020. North Shore Healthcare generates net operating income from operating properties, rental income from its net lease properties, interest from its debt investment, and recognizes its proportionate share of equity and earnings from its investments in unconsolidated ventures. Approximately 78% of our directly owned real estate are operating properties directly exposed to the various operational risks and then exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic, including suboptimal occupancy levels, rate pressures, and increased labor and benefit costs. On a same-store basis, rental and residential fee income net of property operating expenses of our direct operating investments decreased to $68 million for the year ended December 31, 2020, as compared to $76.6 million for the year ended December 31, 2019. This represents an $8.6 million or 11% decrease year over year. As Ron mentioned, additional operating expenses incurred in 2020 as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic totaled approximately $9.9 million for the communities in our direct operating investment portfolio, and we expect these expenses to continue in 2021. However, excluding COVID-19 related expenses, our operating expenses decreased $7 million year over year as lower census in our direct investment operating portfolio resulted in lower utilities and food and beverage costs. Additionally, repairs and maintenance expense was also lower year over year as our managers minimized all non-essential projects. The operators of our net lease investments have also been impacted by the same COVID-19 factors, which have and will continue to affect their ability and willingness to pay rent. During the year ended December 31, 2020, the operator of our Arbors portfolio failed to remit timely rent and satisfy other lease conditions, but ultimately got current on its contractual monthly rent obligations through December 2020. In June 2020, we executed a lease forbearance with the operator of our Fountains net lease portfolio, which deferred 90 days of contractual rent to be repaid over the following 12 months. The operator of our Fountains net lease portfolio continued to make rent payments throughout 2020, including repayment of the deferred rent in accordance with the forbearance agreement. Rental income recognized from our net lease portfolios was flat year over year, totaling $32.9 million. However, the performance of our net lease operators continues to be significantly and adversely affected by COVID-19, and their ability to pay rent in the future is uncertain. Interest income generated by our one mezzanine loan debt investment was $7.7 million for the year ended 2020, which is consistent with the prior year as the same amount of principal was generally outstanding. As noted earlier in the presentation, although the recently amended agreement has increased the loan effective interest rate, significant paydowns have reduced the outstanding principal, and as a result, the company will receive and recognize lower interest income in 2021. Overall, our unconsolidated investment portfolios experienced similar operating challenges presented by the COVID-19 pandemic. Equity and earnings recognized by the company for the year ended December 31, 2020, totaled a $34.5 million loss as compared to a $3.4 million loss for the same period in 2019. Equity in earnings includes the company's proportionate share of depreciation, amortization, and non-cash impairment charges recorded by the unconsolidated joint ventures. However, as presented in our results of operations, excluding these non-cash type expenses and revenues, earnings generated from our unconsolidated investments increased to $40.5 million in 2020 as compared to $37 million in 2019. The Espresso joint venture, which owns net lease skilled nursing facilities, collected full contractual rent from its operators in 2020 and significantly improved operating results with lower interest expense and operating costs. Further, the Trilogy joint venture, which owns and operates skilled nursing facilities, received substantial provider relief funding under the CARES Act in 2020, which offset the costs incurred as a result of COVID-19. Distributions from our unconsolidated investments continue to be limited by reinvestment and working capital needs of the joint ventures, which negatively impacts our liquidity position. During the year ended December 31, 2020, we received distributions from our unconsolidated investments totaling $5.9 million as compared to $35.9 million in 2019. Distributions received in 2019 included our proportionate share of net sales proceeds totaling $21.2 million. Turning to expenses, North Star Healthcare benefited in 2020 from lower effective interest rates on its floating rate debt and overall lower outstanding debt principal balances. Interest expense recognized by the company totaled $66 million in 2020 as compared to $68.9 million in 2019. This is a $2.9 million or 4% decrease year over year. Northshore Healthcare also benefited from lower asset management fee expense incurred during the year ended 2020. Asset management fees totaled $17.2 million in 2020 as compared to $19.8 million in 2019, a $2.6 million or 13% decrease year over year. In both years, approximately $10 million of the fees were paid with common stock issuances rather than cash. As a reminder, asset management fees are calculated as a percentage of the company's estimated net asset value, or NAV, which will fluctuate consistent with the change in the NAV year over year. The company did experience an overall increase in general administrative expenses during 2020. G&A totaled $16.5 million for the year ended 2020, an increase of $3.7 million as compared to 2019, primarily as a result of significant increases to the corporate insurance premiums. Rolling up all the aforementioned operating results in terms of modified funds from operations, or MFFO, a performance metric widely used by the non-traded REITs, the company's consolidated MFFO declined to $46.7 million in 2020 as compared to $58.7 million in 2019. This is a $12 million or 20% decline year over year. Excluded from the calculation of MFFO is impaired losses recorded on real estate. The resulting pressures on operating performance have resulted in non-cash real estate impairments recorded on our direct investments and recorded by our joint ventures of our unconsolidated investments. During the year ended December 31, 2020, NorthStar Healthcare recorded impairment losses totaling $166 million on its directly owned operating real estate and held for sale investments. Previously, as of December 31, 2019, NorthStar Healthcare has recognized $58 million in real estate impairment for properties it continued to hold in 2020. The impairment charges incurred during the year ended December 31, 2020 were a result of deteriorating earnings, sustained decreases in occupancy, and competitive pressures, all of which were further exacerbated by the effects of COVID-19. To the extent that the economic environment and operation of investments continue to be adversely impacted by COVID-19 and financial results do not improve for the underlying communities, there may be more impairments recorded in the future. Further, NorthStar Healthcare's proportionate share of non-cash impairment charges recorded by our unconsolidated investment joint ventures totaled $38.2 million for the year ended December 31, 2020. Most significantly, the diversified U.S.-UK joint venture, which was formerly referred to as the Griffin America joint venture, recorded impairment charges, of which NorthStar Healthcare's proportionate share totaled $34.4 million. Overall, the gap loss generated by NorthStar Healthcare for the year ended December 31, 2020 was $264.2 million, or $1.38 per share, as compared to $77.8 million, or 41 cents per share, for the year ended December 31, 2019. Of the $264.2 million loss generated in 2020, $231 million was attributable to non-cash depreciation, amortization, and impairment losses on our consolidated investments. NorthStar Healthcare generated $31 million in net cash flows from operations for the year ended December 31, 2020, an increase of $5.7 million from the prior year. Despite the downturn in occupancy and operational performance of our direct investments, the company's operating cash flow improved year over year due to the recoupment of regulatory reserve deposits, lower mortgage interest expense incurred, and lower cash payments of interest during the year as a result of the deferred debt service under the lender forbearance. Note that the deferred debt service is scheduled to be repaid in 2021, which will put pressure on our cash flows in 2021. Finally, I'd like to update you on our leverage. As of December 31, 2020, leverage on our total consolidated assets before deducting loan loss reserves and other non-cash reserves and depreciation was 61.3% as compared to 60.7% as of December 31, 2019. Indirect leverage on assets other than intangibles before deducting loan losses and other non-cash reserves and depreciation held through our unconsolidated joint ventures was 60.6% as of December 31, 2020, as compared to 63.2% as of December 31, 2019. These metrics are not based on current market value. If the market value of our properties declines, the loan-to-value market measurement will increase. Within our directly owned investments, we have three separate loans totaling approximately $54 million, which is set to mature in 2021. As noted earlier, we have successfully refinanced one of these loans, and we are actively executing on plans for refinancing the remaining two. Looking beyond 2021, we have approximately $464 million of loans that mature in 2022, substantially all of which are related to our Fountains net lease and operating portfolios. We have begun re-evaluating these loans and remain hyper-focused on improving financial performance of these properties, which will be a key component of achieving a successful outcome. In summary, while 2020 was an extremely difficult and challenging year that yielded disappointing financial results for NorthStar Healthcare, we are firmly committed to doing everything we can to return NorthStar Healthcare to stronger performance and preserve long-term value for our shareholders. This concludes our prepared remarks. With that, I will now turn the call back over to Ann Harrington, so we can address questions that we received in advance of the presentation. Anne?
Thanks, Frank. Our first question asks us to comment on recent trends we have observed for resident move-ins and demand at Mercer Healthcare senior housing communities.
Yeah, thanks, Anne. It's Ron. I'll take that one. I would say that move-in and move-out activity at our communities to date and in 2021 have generally been consistent with our expectations. As we've seen in the past, the holiday and winter season has historically yielded an increase in move-outs at our communities. And this winter season has been no different, and the effects of the pandemic have only exacerbated the normal seasonality of our business, further contributing to continued declines in move-ins and overall occupancy. Through the height of the pandemic, our communities experienced some of the lowest levels of move-ins that we have ever seen, and as such, our overall occupancy levels have declined. This trend ebbed and flowed generally based on infection rates at our communities, meaning that higher number of communities at any given time that had an active outbreak, the lower the move-in pace. In markets where the spread of the virus and infection rates have come off their peak, one thing that has helped improve move-ins is the ability to conduct more in-person tours. While virtual tours have been a tool that our managers and operators have implemented, at the end of the day, move-in decisions are important for families and residents, and many want to see a community in person before they make that decision to move in. As mentioned in the prepared remarks, occupancy our directly owned communities was 71.8% as of March 18, 2021, a decline from 74% in Q4 2020. However, the continued distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine is an encouraging development, and we're starting to see increases in lead traffic, lower infection rates, and in some cases, increases in move-ins at our communities. In addition, with individuals and families having delayed decisions to enter seniors housing facilities during the height of the pandemic, we're hopeful that there is pent-up demand that will lead to higher move-ins at our communities as seasonal weather conditions improve and a wider distribution of the COVID-19 vaccines continues to result in less preventative restrictions and restores confidence in the industry.
Thanks, Ron. Our next question asks whether management's outlook for Northstar Healthcare's 2021 operating performance has changed.
I'll take that one as well, Ann. Our expectations for operating performance in 2021 remain unchanged from what was communicated on our last call. We remain optimistic that operations will begin to return to normal, but at this time, I think it's just too early to tell when the full impact of COVID-19 will subside in our business. I will say one of our key initiatives in 2021 is deploying capital in the form of maintenance and improvement projects across our portfolio. With input and guidance from our managers and operators, we've developed tailored capital expenditure plans for each of our individual communities for 2021, which are currently being rolled out. We believe maintaining and improving the appearance and attractiveness of our facilities and communities will be a critical factor in driving move-ins and occupancy improvements in what will be a very competitive market in the post-pandemic landscape.
Thanks, John. Next question. Is management continuing to assess alternative sources of liquidity, such as dispositions, additional borrowings, et cetera?
Thanks, Ann. Frank, I'll address this question. As noted earlier, we continue to monitor Northstar Healthcare's liquidity relative to current and anticipated future liquidity needs. As part of this monitoring and throughout the course of our normal investment management activities, we have continued to evaluate strategic dispositions and additional sources of capital to enhance our liquidity position. While we will continue to evaluate dispositions in 2021, any dispositions may be delayed, and if we decide to pursue a disposition to generate additional liquidity, we may generate lower proceeds from the disposition as a result of the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. As noted in the prepared remarks, in 2021, we received a total of $24.9 million in principal repayments on our mezzanine loan debt investment, which has greatly enhanced Northstar Healthcare's liquidity position.
Thanks, Frank. Our next question relates to when Northstar Healthcare will consider reinstating the distribution and share repurchase program, and when shareholders might see a liquidity event for Northstar Healthcare. Frank, perhaps you can take this one as well.
Yep. Look, we continue to believe it is in the best interest of our shareholders to keep distributions and the share repurchase program suspended at this time. Our board regularly reassesses Northstar Healthcare's distribution and share repurchase policies. Given current and projected operating performance and capital needs, there can be no assurance that distributions will be declared in any future periods or any particular rate, or that the share repurchase program will be reinstated. Further, as stated in the offering documents, the board will begin to consider liquidity options for Northstar Healthcare's 5 years after the completion of its offering, which elapsed in January 2021. While there is no stated required timeline for liquidation, we do anticipate that our board will continue to review opportunities to maximize shareholder value and overall returns, and that management will continue to operate Northstar Healthcare accordingly. However, at this time, we have no time estimate for when a liquidity event may occur.
Thanks, Frank. That brings us to the end of our question and answer session and our presentation. We thank everyone for listening today to our presentation, and we look forward to providing a further update on results for the first quarter 2021 in May. Thank you.